Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. So, pleasure to be here. Let's go ahead and get started. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And as Mr. Love mentioned, the title of this message is Take No Anxious Thought. And this is where we find that scripture. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Greek word is merimano, and it means anxious or to be worried. Brethren, we have a commission from God as we see things unfold around us. We can either choose to dwell on the negative or see God's positive light in everything that we do. With the riots this morning and this last night and this morning, we see our country on the edge with North Korea and some of the things that are going on. And it does have an effect on us, but it doesn't change our relationship with God. And let's go on in verse 7. It says, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So we're talking about a superior or an all understanding that Christ, that Christ that gives us, God understands what we need before we need it. And he knows what our hearts are, and he wants us to do the things that are pleasing unto him. And he wants us to learn to trust and rely on him. And be thankful in everything. It's amazing to me how many trials we can go through, and you have to say, well, thank God, I know I got some work to do. I have something that he wants me to change in my life because of the fact that I'm having to go through this, and to strengthen me and to strengthen whoever it is. I mean, I'm talking about me, but I'm talking about all of us as followers of God. And perfection comes through the form of faith, love, and submission. I love the song selection because, again, we speak to the love of God and God the Father and Christ the Son. And it didn't start out that way. If you've been watching the minister, the broadcast series with Mr. Myers on the program, it talked about how that Christ became the Son. Because he was the Word and before he became the Son. And the fact is that he submitted himself, but now he's King of Kings, and he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's just amazing to see how much he was willing to go through for us, for our benefit, so that we could be a part of his family. And, we must be aware of our surroundings. We see the things that are happening. But in turn, our job is to increase our willingness to let go. Let go of the hatred, the bigotry, the false ideas, the false values, the thoughts of vanity. Taking no anxious thought so that we can have that superior knowledge God is providing for us. Brethren, it's a tremendous blessing to be here on this Sabbath day. With the small crowd that we have and all the people that are doing what they do on a Saturday afternoon, whether it's golf, whether it's fishing, whether it's working, doing what they have to do to quote-unquote make a living. I dare say you need to learn how to live before you go make a living. Learn how to treat one another. Learn how to inspire one another. See, when you look through the Bible, you don't see... This is when it says in Luke 21, watch you therefore and worry. No. It says, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Our job is to see it, know that God's in control, be sober, be humble, and know that it is beyond us, beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding right now, what God can put into us with His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is just incredible in the sense that it's God's power, and Jesus Christ sent it as the helper so that we can be a part of His kingdom. He's pulling for us all the way. You know, He wants us to do what the things necessary to be a part of His kingdom. And see, because what we have to understand is we're building a relationship for eternity. With God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And you know, there's going to be laughter and joy. And it's unfortunate right now. We don't have as much laughter and joy as we should right now. Because it's within us to understand that when Jesus Christ was on this earth, He knew what was coming. He dealt with everything head on. There were times He had to leave. Because He knew what the crowd was about. But He did His job. He did His job. So that you can be a part of His family. And we're building that relationship for eternity. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. It says, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, watch unto prayer." Brother, we have to recognize everything for what it is. Even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to be tossed into the fire, he says, it doesn't matter. I have to obey God. And those are words to live by. I'm paraphrasing, but it doesn't matter. I have to obey God. God has to be first every day. Our first thought, getting on our knees. Nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, is as important as our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Nothing. We can all think, oh, I got to get to my job. I got to go do this. I got to get that done. Oh, my car is not working. Did you pray about it? Did you start your day with prayer to God? Did you thank Him? Did you say, you know what, God, whatever this day brings, I know I can get through it because You're with me. And those are the types of, that's that conversation, learning to walk with God just like Enoch walked with God. And we know that sin's at the door, but you know what? You don't have to answer it. You know, I won't say what group goes around and, oh, who's that? Looking out the hole. I think I'll pass on that one. I'm talking about sin, you know. As it says over in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, if you do well, you shall you not be accepted. When he's talking to the son. And it says, and if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And unto you there is a desire, and it shall rule over you. See, brethren, we have a choice. We have a choice not to allow Satan into our lives, into our minds. Now you say, wow, that's pretty hard. It is hard. It is hard. It's a constant battle. But when you're filling your mind with God's will and God's, what He wants us to think about, it can be done. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Now, every time we think about, every time you see something that seems earth-shaking, this is, watch ye therefore and pray always, and be anxious for nothing. Watch you therefore and pray always. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Brethren, our job is to pray to God earnestly. Earnestly. In the thought process that, God, I believe You. See, when Jesus Christ was performing the miracles, and I laugh because you think about it, people had to be standing around looking and saying, how is he getting all that fish out of those little fish? How is he getting all that bread out of those little loaves? But he did it. And he did it. And what did he say to us? Greater things you shall do. Do we believe him? Or is that just good words that come out of a book? We must knock, because the alternative, go over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. In Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 24, it says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say, will seek to enter and will not be able. For once when the master was at the house risen and shut the door, and they began to stand outside and knocked on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. For he will answer and he say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught us in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, lawlessness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Verse 29, then they will come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and will sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are the last who will be first, and there are the first who will be last. Brethren, we don't want to hear those words. I never knew you. I mean, we have a job, a thorough understanding that what we have to do. We have to walk before we crawl, before we walk, walk before we run. And I'm going to throw one even further: run before you fly. God knows what we need. And one of the songs that we sing, seek God's kingdom. Always seek God's kingdom first. Matthew 6:33. Always, always, always seek God's kingdom first. With love, with understanding, knowing that God's never going to give you a trial that you can't handle. See, all life depends on God. All life. Nothing exists without his understanding or his creation. And I laugh when I hear people dispute whether or not there is a God in this universe. It's like grasping after wind. Oh, yeah, I got a handful of wind there. Really? You realize that 5% of the universe is matter? 20% is dark or unseen matter? And the dark, quote-unquote, energy makes up 75%. This invisible energy, as it's described, in this ever-expanding universe. Science knows this energy exists, but they don't know what it is. We do. We do. Let's surmise for a moment. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. And verse 2. And it says, the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This transforming power of this formless, voidless planet that we live on now and call Earth into something habitable. That's where we live right now. See, regardless of what Satan's plan was to thwart the plan of God to bring many sons unto glory and to have you, what's your name? You become a part of his family. And as it's described in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, let's go ahead and turn over there. Isaiah 6. And a very familiar scripture, but you know what? It's worth reading. Why? Because it's in here. For unto us a child is born, verse 6. For unto us a son is given, and the government of his on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Brethren, it just hurts to see so many mean people talking back and forth, not understanding that even though they think they're in charge, they're not. I wish Nebuchadnezzar was still around. Ask him. Ask him. Say, hey, are you in charge? No, not me, boy. I had to eat grass for 7 years. You know, God's plan, this universe is still expanding. And we have to understand that no matter what, God's in charge. So we have our job, our duty is not to take any anxious thought. See, fear, doubt, worry, and human reasoning are what people will do taking anxious thoughts. We call it stress now. And it's an unbelief to say, God, you're not capable of taking care of this. Did he not dry up an ocean for a whole country to walk across? For a whole people? Sometimes it's mind-boggling to think that we doubt God. And he understands what's important to us. He hasn't forgot about us. He knows what we need. But we have to understand what's important to him. That's more important. And do the things necessary to help him with his magnificent plan that's being put in motion. See, the helper, as Jesus described him, came after his departure and his ascension. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 15. And I said, when we knew him, we know what that power is. Okay, that 75%. He says in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Sounds like a universe to me. All things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Brethren, science doesn't need to look any farther. They can read it right there. And I get excited about that because we have a God who's told us exactly what we need to do, how we must believe in him. To understand, he's not kidding around. He is the God of this universe. And he's a very loving God. So this unknown or dark and invisible energy, we know what it is. Because I would speculate that the prince of the power of the air who's on this earth, he's being kept in darkness. Because we know, we read that he's in darkness. And he's going to go back to darkness. See, where God and his glory is, Satan will not exist. And we know that the earth was formless and void and was dark. Then he allowed man to be on it. So he rolled it back so we'd have the day and the night. But then we also see that when the third heaven, when Jesus Christ comes in Revelation 20, he's put away, sealed. Because darkness is what his domain is. Solitary is his domain. What do they do to the most vile prisoners? They put them in solitary confinement. And why is it? Who do you think came up with that? Who is the God of this world? It's very unfortunate. But he knows what his punishment is. See, darkness, when we read over in Genesis chapter 10, verse 23, and you guys can write that down, when the Hebrews were in the Goshen, I think it was the ninth plague, it was darkness. Okay? Let me go over here, because I don't want to just start quoting stuff. So let's read it straight from the book. Genesis 10, we'll start in verse 21. I'm sorry, it must be Exodus. Exodus 10. I messed up. See if I can find it. It's talking about the plagues. Yeah, Exodus 10, verse 21. The ninth plague, darkness. And in verse 21 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, and that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may be felt. And so Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they did not see one another, nor did they rise from their place for 3 days. But in all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." See, God has, he can bring darkness, just like he put the scales over Paul's eyes. It's a tool that is used. And God created the day and the night. And he knows what we need. And he knows, and our adversary and his posse know what their fate is, because when you read over, and you can write this down, 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, it says, "And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things are true in you, because the darkness is passing away, and true light already shines." It's shining on you, brother. Shining on you to see the path that he's lighting, so that we can follow him and do the things necessary. See, Satan, our adversary, doesn't have that, because when we read over in Jude chapter 1 and verse 6, well, there's only one chapter there. It says, "And the angels kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation with God." Lucifer, Hillel, being a covering cherub, left his proper habitation and is kept in everlasting bonds of darkness unto judgment on the great day. Verse 13, it says, "Wild waves and sea foaming out of their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackness and darkness has been reserved forever." That's the fate of our adversary. But we have a great God who loves us and wants us to dwell in his light. So we have a job, not to take any anxious thoughts, not to be overtaken by the fears that are broadcast every day by the prince of the power of the air. Again, it's when we have that extra oil, it goes from being dreamers to believers. And when I say that extra oil, it's God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us to understand that it's true, it's real. This is not some formulation. This is not something you sit here for an hour and a half and say, "Boy, that was great," and you walk away and do nothing with it. Brethren, it's our responsibility to draw upon God to further our mind so that we can see what he wants us to see. The miracles that Jesus Christ performed, again, he said, for those, there'll be greater miracles. Okay? We have a job to do. We have a job to overcome, get rid of the anxious thoughts, the human reasoning. And you know, when we see things happening around the world, you know what? It could be a powder keg ready to happen. But it doesn't change the fact that we have to be alert, aware, and walk forward. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, when we think about it, we've had so many people that have called themselves prophets at the end of the age. And to put dates on it, only to not have it happen. We know it's going to happen, brethren. But this 5 pounds, 3 to 5 pounds of gray matter between your ears, behind your eyeballs, we have to get it in sync with God's Holy Spirit so that we can move forward and not allow fear to paralyze us. Hey, they're rioting over in Charlottesville, Virginia. What can I do about it? I can pray. God, protect your people. Do the things that are necessary. Can this be a spark plug? It could be. But you ever notice, because the same people that run the banks are the same people that own the media. So again, brethren, do your homework. God's people, God's ministers are going to Mr. Tuck. He's keeping a vigilant eye out for us to say, hey, look, this is happening. Be prepared. Didn't say be scared. He said be prepared. You know, the antonym, we have the synonyms and antonyms, and the antonym to anxious is to be bold, to be brave, confident, cool, calm, courageous, unconcerned. We have a job to do, and that is being God's servants and continuing to show love towards one another and to become the person, the being that God would have us to be. This saber rattling that's going on right now is very real. Could take us in a direction we don't want to see, but doesn't change the fact of who you are. See, Jesus Christ, he faced death threats, but he knew, and he would get away sometimes when he'd get out of places that he had to get out of. But he knew that nothing was going to happen before his time because he had a job to do. And he came and showed us how to default to the Father. His job was to show us how to praise God, how to love God, and it's very much so how he loves us. Christ became the Son, again, in the way he was the Word, the Elohim of the Old Testament, the Creator, the Son. And as we say, he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is qualified for that. Every day comes with its own challenges. Most of them are in our minds. It is our job to know that instead of trying to bend God to do our will, whether we learn to do God's will. And see how we can best serve him every day. Every day. In all actions, thoughts, deeds. Making our prayer and supplication, our request, that God grant peace, wisdom, and understanding. God tells us to pray. And you know, sometimes the answer is no. And there are those that have interpreted no answer as yes. And they're an example for all to see thousands of years later. Just ask Balaam. Oh, well, he must want me to go ahead and go get this money. Really? No. Run greedily after the way of Balaam. I don't want that name. I don't want to be recorded for all history to be that person. When a dumb donkey couldn't even thwart you from doing the wrong thing. You know, if it's not God's best interest or for his will, it won't happen. But see, when we see something like the example of Joshua, think about it. The extra long day. He stopped the whole universe. Magnificent God. He stopped the whole universe for us, for him to do. Because, okay, was it to get rid of his enemy? Well, they were murdering. No. Just like he brought John, he brought back Lazarus, he's going to bring all those people back too. There's no doubt in God. it did not serve God in his prayer to answer David's prayer when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. God taught a lesson for all of mankind. Again, another lesson. You don't want to be that person. I mean, I love the way that David repented. We all do, because God said he's a man after my own heart. But, you know, not only to do the things he did, but God taught a lesson to say, no, I hear what you're saying. I know that you're sorry. But this time, and I'll bring that little boy back. I'll bring him back, but not right now. And David accepted God's decision because he realized his sin had been laid bare. And what he tried to keep secret was out there for everybody to know, and again, recorded for all of mankind. Nadab and Abihu, you know, they were destroyed by God, Aaron's sons. Why? Because they put foreign fire in the censers. Why would God obliterate them? They didn't do what he asked them to do. And you know, Aaron was even told, don't even grieve for them. Don't grieve for them. Because they tried, the disastrous results was that they were an affront to God. A direct contradiction of what God instructed them to do. He'll bring them back. And I bet you if they do have altars in the world tomorrow, if they tell them, hey, go put some fire on there, which they probably won't, but if they tell them what to do, I guarantee you, they'll do what they're supposed to do. These events that are recorded in this book, it's not fairy tales. It's not stories. It's not something just to feel good about. These were real people. Real life. See, what we see on television right now, it's all facades. And the actors, they're actors. When we live in a society where they make millions to be fake, where does that come from? Not from God. God loves his real people. When you go to Universal Studios and you see all of the different backgrounds of the places, you know, from the movies, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that movie, and you look behind that building and there's nothing there. It's not a real building. God's real. These words are real. This is life. This is teaching us how to live. In conclusion, brother, God guides us to what we need to focus on to thwart those anxious thoughts. And let's go back over to Philippians chapter 4. And we'll just continue to read on. We read verses 6 and 7. It says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, verse 6 again, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8 it says, and finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, not lies, whatsoever things are honorable, not dishonorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, things that are pure, not the things that will take us away from the purity of love, because you know what the naiveness of quote-unquote children. That's real love. See, when I see my niece come back from camp and just ecstatic, just so excited because she has spent the amount of time with her friends, getting to know her first friends at camp and saying, you know what, we had a great time. An 11-year-old's enthusiasm is just contagious. Now, on the other hand, you have other people that go to camp and cook, and they say, I'm never going back every year, but they go back. We won't say who that is. But she knows that she loves to go up there because it's the camaraderie, brethren. Brethren, it's like Mr. Weber, Mr. Armstrong used to always say, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. As Mr. And that's from the Bible. They quoted it the most, but that's from the Bible. Let's continue to go on. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The things which they are learned and received and heard of and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Brethren, we're seeking that peace. There's not a whole lot of peace that's going on right now, but it's got to dwell within us, whoever we meet with. And when we're here together, brethren, it's a great opportunity to share with one another, to answer the prayer, that the opening prayer, to say, yes, brethren, yes, God, we're here to serve you and to share the time that you've set aside for us. Following the example given by the Son, being at peace, a willingness to believe the power that's on display. And you think about that, brethren, for eternity, and not be anxious for anything, so that we can mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically have the peace provided to us by our Creator God.